Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dearly loved by God in Christ Jesus, fellow Christians living here in the United States. The Apostle Peter had no delusions about the kind of culture that surrounded him and his fellow believers. He had written earlier in this first letter by calling those people aliens and strangers in the world. He identified them as people living among the pagans. Fellow believers in Christ, recent news alerts and headlines in newspapers have proven once again how little things have changed since the first century. Peter addressed this letter to God's elect, strangers in the world, and that includes us. In this portion of his letter, the apostle calls our attention to the matter of Christian character. These words before us, which contain a large portion of Psalm 34 that Peter quotes, really don't talk so much about what we are to do or don't do as Christians, but speak more about the Christian character that God has created in us and given to us as He has called us by the gospel for blessing. This Christian character is the polar opposite of the unchristian culture that surrounds us. And so this is our theme this morning as we look at these words and think about our nation's birthday this week: Christian character in an unchristian culture. We see, first of all, that the Lord has called us to do good and seek peace. And secondly, that the Lord is always attentive to us. Unchristian culture is as much a matter of heart as is Christian character. What makes something, even a culture, unchristian? Well, really, I think basically two things. It means, first of all, that it denies God and opposes Him. And secondly, it denies that His will is universal and changeless and opposes that will. Since that unchristian culture is the culture of all human hearts, even ours, by birth, it will always remain that way unless it is changed. And because hearts changed by the gospel are always in the minority in this world, then the culture that surrounds Christians almost invariably is unchristian and in opposition to our Christian character. The exception would be when unchristian culture listens to that feeble remaining voice of the natural knowledge of the law and strives to do things that are good for society and that are right for keeping outward decency and order. But as we've seen recently, again and again, even unchristian culture doesn't even do that when it should, but is more than willing and eager to set it aside in the service of self-interest. In the midst of unchristian culture, you and I live with our Christian character. That is, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we have set apart Christ as Lord in our hearts. We recognize our sins. We recognize Jesus as the sacrifice for those sins. We strive, motivated by that sacrifice, to love Him and live for Him in righteousness as members of His kingdom. As we do that, remember that you are not alone. That I am not one, the only person who is doing that. No Christian with his Christian character is an island in the middle of the sea of unchristian culture. When Peter wrote these words to the believers scattered across the Roman world, he addresses them and says, all of you, reminding them that they were in a group, that they had been called together into an assembly, a church, the saving church of Jesus Christ. And so he says, all of you, live in harmony with one another. And this is where we take that as part of our liturgy. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Let's take just a brief look at the meaning of those words. Harmony means to be like-minded. We are all, with our Christian character, like-minded, aren't we, about our sins. We hate those. And we are like-minded about Christ, grateful to Him for dying on the cross to pay for our sins and for the sins of the whole world. It is our Christian character to be sympathetic. And that really means when someone else hurts, that I hurt. It means to share their sorrow, and it means to share their joy. To love one another as brothers is appropriate as we think of the 4th of July. The Greek word there is Philadelphia. Philadelphia is that brotherly love and concern that we have for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Compassion is to feel another's pain. Humility is not to think of yourself more highly than you should. And that means that in Christian character, there is no thought for revenge. There is no thought of giving hurt for hurt. There is no thought of trading insult for insult. And we can see how opposite that Christian character is from that unchristian culture that surrounds us. All of these characteristics of Christian character, humility, compassion, sympathy, brotherly love, harmony. These are foreign concepts to hearts that have not been changed by the Holy Spirit. You and I didn't think of these things ourselves to be this way. We didn't decide to be these things. God has called us to these things for a blessing. The blessing of sharing these things with one another and our fellow Christians in the midst of the unchristian culture in which we live. We are aliens and strangers in the world. We are living among pagans who hate God and hate to do His will. As you and I are blessed to enjoy citizenship in this country, there are two things that we want to do as Peter, quoting Psalm 34, encourages us and commands us really to do. And that's to hate evil, to do good, to seek peace. Those are things that we can do or not do as actions, but they're really manifestations of that Christian character. They're really part of that group, and I don't think there's any one of us here who would exclude ourselves from the group that Peter mentions when he says, whoever would love life and see good days. Don't we want to love life? Particularly loving life in this great country in which God has seen that we were born. We could have been born anywhere in the world. But God saw to it that we were born in a place where our parents could bring us to holy baptism. A place where you could get up this morning and go openly to worship your God the way that you want to worship Him. Don't we say to our spouse when they go out the door, or to our children, have a good day? We don't want to go through the day hating life. We don't want to go through the day having a bad day. But how do we do that? How do we love life? How do we have a good day? It's knowing that we have that Christian character. It's knowing that God has called us to a blessing. The blessing of faith in Him and the forgiveness of our sins. There's purpose in everything that we do as we live our lives in hope of Christ. We have a good day and love life by hating evil and by doing good and by living in harmony with one another and being humble and compassionate and sympathetic and brotherly to one another. And by always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. How can I love life and do good? It's when I'm prepared to give an answer and confess Jesus Christ. When someone asks me, how can you love life? Look what's going on in the world. How can you have a good day when society seems determined to destroy itself by turning further and further away from God and His will? Well, we can give an answer to that. The answer is our blessing to which God has called us. The blessing is the Christian character that we can take out into the world to which God has called us. That makes us different. As we live our Christian character in an unchristian culture, the Lord is always attentive to us. After we got back from New York last week, we rented the movie with Tom Hanks about the father who was killed on 9/11 and the little boy that went looking to find out what a key opened that he had found in his father's closet. And he thought that as he was traveling all over the boroughs, as he was going on this search, as he was living and meeting all these people, that he was doing it all by himself. And I hope you've seen it, because otherwise cover your ears, because I'm going to tell you what happened. In the very end, spoiler alert, that's what I was thinking of. In the end, his mother said, I always knew where you were. I was always watching you. I was always aware of what you were up to. You were never alone. And she even called all the people. She prepared those people for his meeting them. Well, it occurred to me that that's what Peter means here when he says that the eyes of the Lord are always on the righteous. As you and I live in an unchristian culture, we're never traveling alone. The Lord is always watching out for us wherever we go. And it's also true that the Lord in His power is always in control, even of the people we meet, even of the places we go, so that they will not harm us, so that they will not hurt us, so that they will not interfere with or destroy the purpose that we have in our lives. So in that sense, like that mother, God takes care of the people we meet and the places we go so that we are safe. As we go about that travel with our Christian character in an unchristian culture, and as we give a response to the hope that is in us, Peter says that there are really going to be two responses. First of all, Peter says, who's going to harm you if you do good? And we've experienced that, haven't we? Even in an unchristian society and culture, there are pagans, there are unbelievers who appreciate it when we are godly, who are more than happy to ask us about our faith. And they will even listen to what we have to say. So Peter says, as we go about living our Christian character in this unchristian culture, that there will be people who won't harm us for that. They'll recognize that there's good in that. But some people will have a completely different response. But even if you should suffer, and this is a true condition that you're going to, but even if you should suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. And a better translation is, don't fear their threats. Do not be afraid. Unchristian culture most often will reject our Christian character. They will hate us for it. They will mock us for it. They will call us all kinds of names because of it. In some countries, they'll take all your property because of it, and even will take your life. People don't like to hear that there's only one God, that there is forgiveness of sins only through faith in Christ for salvation, that God's will is universal and changeless and applies to all people. We will often suffer when we manifest that Christian culture or Christian character. But as we do that, remember, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. It is not our purpose. It's not our job to do evil or to bring judgment down upon the unchristian culture in which we live. In a sense, we don't even look on them as our enemies, but we look on them as victims of Satan's lies, who need to hear the truth, not to be dismissed, not to be avoided, not to be ignored. And that's why God never tells us to go live in a monastery, to go live in a commune away from the world, but to be out there in that unchristian culture, preaching God's word, sharing God's word with them. What better way to celebrate our nation's birth, God willing, than by loving our lives and doing good? By sharing with our unchristian culture those blessings of the inheritance that we tell them is theirs also. The unchristian culture in which we live should come as no surprise to us. The rejection that we often get from them should not come as a surprise to us. Rather, we give thanks to God for the opportunity to share with them this message that Paul writes just a little bit after our text, to tell the world, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. Amen.